You may have found yourself in that situation a time or two. Maybe now.
Maybe another time in life.
Where you were trying to figure out which way to go. And I'm going to start off with a little story from this past week. It was kind of part of the inspiration for my message this morning. I was taking six youth that I work with, mountain biking, actually, which we do quite a bit. At the Lighthouse Mission, we have bikes and kayaks and things like that. We take kids out. And so we go right here in Farmingville. There's some nice trails over here by the Brookhaven Town Hall. And so it was myself. I had six middle school kids, and I had two police officers with me. Not because I thought I was going to get jumped, but because the police officers work hand in hand with us. They come out and they do stuff with us. We try to portray a better image of the police in the neighborhood we work with. So we bring them along. And so none of these kids had been on the trail with me before. So I went down the normal standards of the trail and things like that. And so I was in the front, and then I had six kids, and then I had the two police officers in the end. So we usually ride a little bit. We ride, and then we stop, get a little break, ride some more. And I had one of the kids, man, he was right on my tail the whole time. So I was riding as hard as I can. The other kids weren't riding as hard as him, not as fast. We stopped. Everybody caught up. We took a little break, and then we went off on another trail, and we were going, and this kid was on my tail. So I was riding hard. He was on me, assuming everyone's behind me. But it doesn't matter anyway because I got the two cops at the end. To keep everyone corralled, right? So I stop. The kid behind me stops. We're waiting. I'm like, where is everybody? And then all of a sudden I see one student and the two cops. What's missing in the picture? It's the four boys in the middle. Well, what happened to them? I don't know. I just say to the cop, where did you see them? No, they're not with you. I'm like, they're not with me. I guess they went off the trail. So from there, we proceeded a search for the four lost boys. I have no idea where they are in this big woods with trails all over the place. And so we went to the typical, you go that way, we'll go this way. So we went. They went that way, I went this way. Met back up with them. No boys, no sign of anybody. All right, let's do it again. And then I ended up off the trail myself. And make a long story short that I'll finish up later. I end up back to the parking lot, assuming the boys must have made it back to the parking lot. They're still not there. I wait there. The cops go back in the woods. We're yelling through the woods. Hey, can't find them anywhere. So now I have four lost kids in the middle of the woods on bikes because they took the wrong trail. And the only way I got back to the parking lot was because I found the trailhead and I hopped back on it. And I knew how to get back. That's what we're going to look at this morning. I'm going to get back. I'll tell you the conclusion of the story in a little while. But if you do have your Bibles with you this morning, if you could turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We're going to look at a pretty common portion of Scripture today. Matthew chapter 7. We're just going to look at two verses. Verse 13 and 14. Probably heard it a million times. But it says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Let me just pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you again for your presence. And we thank you for your word, and that your word is truth. And I pray that you would speak through me, God, through your spirit right now, and through your word, that it not be me speaking, but you. Lord, may our ears be inclined to hear you. May you do something in our hearts this morning. And I just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you have, this is kind of the conclusion of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, or the best sermon ever said. You know, Jesus, over a series of teachings, teaches a whole bunch of things in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is kind of nearing the end of that. And Jesus, real simple. This is such a simple and straightforward message, but it really holds a lot of power. And he's talking to people, and he says, enter through the narrow gate. That's how he starts. It's kind of not really a suggestion, more of a commandment, but kind of saying, look, and you got two options. We have two choices in this world. We have lots of choices in this world. But when it comes down to eternity, there's two ways we can go. There's the narrow road, and there's the wide road. Right? And Jesus says very clearly, he says, enter through the narrow road. And the narrow road, as I kind of tried to depict a little bit in my entrance, it doesn't always look so appealing. You know, staying on the trail when we're biking, there's lots of curves, and sometimes you're in between two trees, and sometimes there's a root that pops up in the middle of the trail, and we've had plenty of kids flip off the bikes, and including myself, and it's bumpy. It's sometimes there's downhills, sometimes there's uphills. It's not necessarily a desirable road all the time. It doesn't always look so exciting and appealing, but it's the right road. The narrow road. Jesus says, enter through the narrow road. But the thing I love about the Word of God is Jesus never just leaves us to say, well, why? You know, enter through the narrow road. See you later. Figure it out on your own. That would leave us saying, why the narrow road, Jesus? Because over there I see a really wide road. When I think of the wide road in this story, I think of Las Vegas. I think of Hollywood. All right? I think of the lights, the glamour, the draw. We're drawn to the excitement, right? The flesh is drawn to things that appeal to our flesh. And so I think of the narrow road, you know, as this might appeal to someone. To more people. This appeals to me more anyway in my flesh. But you're driving down the country road, you know, and then there's a more dirt country road, right? Feel me? And you're like, there could be nothing down that road. But like the GPS is saying, take the right down the dirt country road. There can't be anything good down the dirt country road. Take the right. And meanwhile, there's this nice highway ahead of you, right? Paved, nice and smooth. That's got to be the way, right? But meanwhile, that highway leads to nowhere. And at the end of that, if you were to stay on that country bumpy road, right? Ever been on those? The worst one ever was India. I was on this one in India. 2.5 hours down to this little tiny village, man. That was the worst road. Anyway, little side story. But meanwhile, at the end of that country road, you know, me and Lily went to Montana one time. Actually, Montana-Canada border. And we were at one of the national parks, Glacier National Park. You're in the middle of nowhere. The park's getting ready to close for the wintertime. We go up, and you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's bears, there's bobcats, there's wolves, there's all kinds of stuff. And here you are, you know, with your little hiking stick. Like it's going to do anything, you know? But I can remember, you walk, and it's beautiful landscape, but you're just on this trail. And then all of a sudden, you get to this beautiful mountain lake, right? But it was hidden. You didn't really know it was there, but you had to stay on the road to get there. Right, so that's the narrow road. It doesn't appear appealing, but as you get down it, the end leads to something beautiful. But that broad road, man, it appeals to the flesh. Like I said, Vegas, Hollywood, nice paved highway, man. That's the one I'm on. But that's where we pick up. So Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate." Why, Jesus? Why the narrow gate? Because for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. No matter how many times we might hear it, don't go the wrong way. It's never going to end up. But the wrong way looks fun. But you know what? Let me ride the wrong way a little bit. And when I'm ready, I'll come back onto the right road. Right? Let me just get it out of my system. Right? You ever hear that before? Let me live it up while I'm young. And then when I'm old, I'll come to church. Right? That's for old people. Right? When I'm old, I'll give my life to Christ. Because I'm not ready yet. I want to live it up. Because this wide road, it's fun. Right? It's exciting. And I want you to think this morning that this message is just for those of us who or those who aren't on the right road. Because this applies to us, whether we've been on the right road for a week, 30 years, or not. Because God is always drawing us to stay on the right road. It's a narrow road, not always easy. But this wide road. See, if we can keep, we're such a society, such a people that we want the now. Right? Just give me what's coming to me now. Right? I don't care what the result is going to be, but give it to me now. But we need to begin to look into the past, the now. Well, what's the end result? If I ride on that road, Jesus clearly says it leads to destruction, right? And if we take that word a little bit more, I was looking it up. It's not, this is, I was trying to find the Greek and all these things and all these words. This is one of the most straightforward passages. Like, there's nothing really hidden about it. Destruction leads to death. That's what it represents. The wide road, the road of the flesh, the road of this world, it leads to death. Right? The only time death is good is when you know Jesus Christ. Right? Then death isn't so bad. But other than that, death is death. It's over. You're done. So live it up now, because that's all you got. But after that, it's death. It's destruction. And most people that go that road, yeah, I use that kind of visual, like, man, that looks like it's, you're just going for the speed. You want the adrenaline rush, right? You want to just get what feels good. But you don't know at the bottom there's a cliff with no end, right? And so it might appear good right now, but you hit that rock bottom, literally. And then what? Right? So broad is this road. Wide is the gate. Wide. Why is it wide? We'll see in a second. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. It's wide and it's broad because that's where most people are. It needs a lot of room. Because most people come up to that fork in the road and they say, which way do I go? And the Bible clearly says, not some, not a small majority, but most will go that way. Most people will take the wrong road. That's sad. Right? And God's always beckoning. His desire is that many would come to Christ. Right? His desire is that none would perish, but all would come to the knowledge of Christ. Right? Why is it that so many go down that road? It's because we want what we want. Right? We want to satisfy ourselves. And many people are, and you may have found yourself on that road before. And maybe you've grew up in church. Maybe you're trying to walk with Christ now, but you're struggling. Paul talks about the struggle we have with the flesh and the spirit. Basically, he says, you know, the very thing I know I should do, I don't do. And the thing I shouldn't do, I find myself keep doing that thing. Ever been there? Right? And he says, I find this war within me. It's like the little angel and demon, you know, in the cartoons. Fighting against wrestling. It's a constant wrestle. Well, what this narrow road, Jesus, is really hard. I know you say it leads to life, but man, when I was on the other road, it was hard, but at least I got something out of it. There's this battle, this wrestling. But we know also that you can't be on both roads. Some people like to think there's like a little byway, shortcuts in between so you can hop in and out, you know? When you're feeling exciting and adrenaline and you want to live in sin, you could just hop over on the wrong way. And then I just tell this story. It's sad, but when I was in college, which is where God really got a hold of me, we would go around and I would evangelize, you know, me and Lily, actually, before we were together. You know, I would go in dorm room doors, hey, you know Jesus, you know, and going to the bars and things like that. And Saturday night, I mean, this, I was laugh at this because people will be like, oh yeah, Cortland, that's a real party school. I really don't know of a university that's not a party school. But this one had a reputation for being an extra party school, I guess, whatever that looks like. So, of course, Thursday through Saturday, you know, three quarters of the campus was hungover and drunk. So I remember talking to a person one day on a Saturday night who was quite high or drunk, whatever you want to call it. And it so stuck out to me because they said, you know what? I'm just going to go out tonight and do my thing. And then tomorrow I'll just go to church and go to confession. You know, and it just stuck with me, that idea, how lost they were. Right? Like the kids in my story earlier, they were lost. They didn't know where to go at that point. I didn't know where they were, so I assume they were lost. They didn't know where to go. Right? And we're so lost to think that we can entertain sin and still walk with Christ. Right? There needs to be a difference in the things we do, the things we say, the people we hang out with, the things we entertain ourselves with. And so we have this wide road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road. You ever try to like fit through a small gate? Or a fence. Like, you ever been there where you have to, like, have your friend, like, open it up for you, you know, so you can get through. Come on, oh, I'm almost there. Oh, you get stuck on something, right? But that's how I picture this. You got this big gleaming light, right? Come to this road. This is where the party's at, right? This is where you'll be satisfied. And there's this tiny little hole in the fence on the other side, you know? And it's like, no, this is really the right way. You're like, forget that. That looks too hard. Because this road, you have to give up that. Right? In order to walk on that road, to even step on that road, you have to give up that road. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Right? If you want to save your life, you got to lose your life. See, just to throw out to you on a side note. Everything of this world is completely opposite of everything of the Spirit. God's ways are always completely contrary to the world. And while the world says, get all you can get, Jesus says, give it all up. Right? If you want to save your life, you got to lose your life. The world says, "No, man, save it. You gotta just live it up, right? It's all opposite. But there's a cost involved. There really is. We've come to say that it's just easy. Oh yeah, just say a little prayer and you got Jesus, right? There's a cost. There's a cost to walk on that road. Jesus said, you know, in this world you will have trouble, right? If they persecuted you, me, they'll persecute you. If they mistreated me, they'll mistreat you. Oh, that sounds like the road I want to go on. How about you? But at the end of that, he says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And see, if Jesus said, I've overcome the world, and if I am in Christ, then what does that mean? I have overcome the world. So despite how bleak it might look, what does the scripture say? But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Did you catch that? Broad is the gate, wide is the road that leads to death. And many find it. But narrow the road that leads to life. Who doesn't want life? And I have come to give you life, and life more what? Abundantly. Abundant. What does that word abundant mean? Right? You're full. You can't. You've heard the cup runneth over, that expression, right? Abundance is so much that you can't handle it, right? That your life is so full. Despite your circumstance, you have continual joy, you have continual peace, you have continual life. More abundantly. That's what Jesus offers us. Continually. If we would walk the narrow road. Right? If we would come, if we would humble ourselves. See, go back to my story for a minute. Four kids in the middle of the woods. Have no idea where they are. One kid had a phone. I didn't have his number. His buddy with me said, oh, Dean has his phone. Great. Do you have his number? No. All right, great. He didn't have my number. Just pray. That's all I know to do is pray. He'll show up. But they're lost. They didn't know where they were. So they had a choice. They could remain lost, continue riding around, or do what they can do. Finally, my phone goes off. Pick it up. Hi, this is someone, I don't know his name, Tony. This is Tony from, I'm the security guard over at Bretton Woods. I have four of your children here with me. All right? So, but here's the picture right here for a minute. My kids got lost. All right? And they went wherever they can go. They came to this condominium and they drove through. They had the sense enough to go to the security guard and say, we're lost. Can you help me out? The guy, well, who are you with? Lighthouse Mission. All right, here's the number. Looks it up. He calls the office. The guy got my cell phone and called me. But see, the kids were on the trail the wrong way. And they were lost. But they recognized that they were lost on the wrong trail. And what they did is they reached out to, in that instance, the only one that could come, in a sense, and rescue them, which was me. Right? I'm not a savior. I'm not their savior. But just paralleling that. So they reached out and they said, we are lost on the wrong road. How do we get back to the right road? And they did what they can do, and that was to have the guy call me, in which I said, no, just leave him there. I don't want him. I said, please hold him there. I'll be there as quick as I can. I'll be there in 5 minutes. In which I proceeded to go and get in the van and go pick the kids up. And then they were back with me and they were safe. We were all back on the right road. Right? And that's what we need to do. We need to examine constantly. Again, it doesn't matter how long you've been on the narrow road. It's a daily decision. Am I still walking the narrow road? And if not, I need to examine my heart and my mind. Am I lost? See, some people don't even know they're lost. But we need to ask that question. Am I lost? Am I on the wide road? Am I headed to destruction? But what are we going to do about it? Continue to walk? That breaks my heart when you know people know they're walking the wrong way and they keep walking the wrong way. They're walking to destruction. And you can wave banners and jump in front of them and do all you want, but they're going. Nothing you can do. Unless the Spirit draws a man. Right? Unless our eyes are open to the reality that we're lost. And that word repent that we hear so much about, it means to turn around. You don't just hop from the wrong road to the right road. You gotta turn back around. You gotta come off the wrong road, humble yourself, hop onto the right road. And at that, I'm sure everyone's been to the movies or a theater or a ball game, and who separates you from the outside to the inside of the stadium or the arena? The ticket taker, right? You got a ticket. Well, who sits at that gate but Jesus? There's no other ticket taker. We always try to pull our strings, right? Oh, well, my dad's friend is the manager of the, right? Come on, you've all done that, right? And it works. It usually works. It's good to know people. You got to know people, right? Well, on this road, the only one you need to know is Jesus. There's no other pulling strings. There's no other, well, you know, my dad believes in Jesus. And so, isn't that enough? Nope. Need your ticket. Well, my grandma, she was in the church for 65 years. And there's a pew in her memory. Nope. You know, I haven't really been the best. I've kind of been on the wrong road. But you know what? I was one of the nicest guys on the wrong road. You know, I helped other people in their sin, you know, find better bars to go to. I helped them, you know, when they were gossiping, I listened. You know, isn't that worth something? Nope. I am the way, Jesus says, the truth and the life. Can we just talk about that? The narrow road leads to life. So it brings us to this idea, or this place that we need to consider. What road are we on? If we're on the wrong road, what's keeping you, except for your own selfish desires and your own blindness, from coming on the right road, the narrow road? And the interesting thing about the narrow road, just as the wide road is huge and many find it, the narrow road, it says, but only a few find it. Very few walk that narrow road. Very few. I know we like to think in our hearts that, you know, many people are going to come to Christ. But the word clearly says that only a few. Only a few will enter through the narrow road. It's because of our own pride, our own desires, our own self. So that's the first question. Which are you on this road? Why are you still on it? Jesus extends the invitation to us. Come. I will give you life through me. I gave my life for you so you didn't have to go down the road of destruction. Come to the road of life. Come to the path of life. I will light your way. I will lead you. It won't be easy, but I will guide you. Right? If you ever read Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. Right? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will comfort me. Right? There's still waters on that road, and there's the valley of death on that road. But the living God says, I will be with you. I will guide you to life. And there's some of us who are on that road, but we dabble with the things of the other road. Right? We're trying to walk the narrow road, but there's constantly that pull back. Right? And sometimes we even, like Lot's wife, do not look back at the city. But Lot's wife, what she turned to a pillar of salt. Right? And so we've left that world and we've come here, but that world is always crying out. It's always there. And it's only by God's grace and God's Spirit that we can stay on it. But some of us are getting tugged and pulled back by that world, and it's drawing you. And you're fighting, and you don't know which one. Put your hope in Christ. Renew your heart to Him. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. This is a little bit of a test, kind of. But if you spend most of your time and most of your thoughts and most of your energies thinking about and doing and participating in the things of the world. And yet, you're on the narrow road, or you say you're on the narrow road. It's a time to examine your heart. Right? Lord, see if there's any unclean way in me. Lord, what am I thinking about on a daily basis? In which direction am I headed with my thoughts and my actions and my words? Who am I hanging out with? What am I spending my time doing? Right? Look, that narrow road, you have one thing in mind, the kingdom of God. That you are set on life, and life comes through Christ, and Christ is the kingdom of heaven. That's where your eyes are. Man, you're peeled on the kingdom of God. You're set. Your desire, your hope is to see people come from that road to that road, from death over to life. You just want to grow in the things of God. You're not satisfied with, even as you keep walking on that road, you're not satisfied. You want more of Christ. You want less of the world, because that world, man, it clings on. It just stays on you. And some of us, we just take the world and we get on the gate, you know, we accept Christ. But we never shed the things of the world. Right? We just kind of lug them along on the narrow road. But Christ said he came to give us freedom. Freedom, liberty, rest, life. And maybe you're here today and you don't know where you are. If that's the case,